Carpenter. This is our first 8 o'clock sub. On Friday, I think we'll probably be producing budgets in such numbers that we will be continuing this somewhat early tradition. We may even get to the point where, or I should say we are at the point in session where we'll probably be having several Ways and Means meetings a week. Will members be attentive to scheduling changes?
No, and I'm not.
Coming through your offices.
Oh, yeah.
First up, bills for introduction. LC 4221, Representative Winters.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. LC 4221 increases the marriage license fee from $25 to $27. Under current law, the entire $25 is credited to the Domestic Violence Fund under ORS 108660. This concept retains that portion of the current law and requires the additional $2 per license to be transferred to the Oregon State Library for local public library grants under ORS 357.740, Oregon's Ready to Read program serving children birth to 14. The amendment applies only to those fees collected on or after the effective date of the act.
Thank you, Representative Winters. Any discussion regarding LC 4221? Representative Schrader.
Just a quick comment. I support this introduction because in our subcommittee, we heard a lot of great testimony about some of the Ready to Read programs that the library was doing, and I'd sure like to get that supported.
Any further questions or discussion? Senator Dukes?
Mr. Chair, I'm sorry I didn't realize it was just a bill introduction. I was going to ask some things like, what do libraries have to do with marriage licenses?
We will
that
have
was
plenty
just
of opportunity.
Oh, no, never mind.
Senator Brown, are you saying hello to me, or is that an?
I'm trying to get your attention, Mr. Chair.
Senator Brown.
I talked to the honorable representative from Salem about this particular issue. I have a philosophical objection to this bill, and that is, for about 20 years. The marriage license fee was the only source of domestic violence funding in the state until 1995. We were able to attain an increase in the penalty for perpetrators of domestic violence that also goes into domestic violence. So we are funding domestic violence about 1% of the need out there. There's a comprehensive package. We need about $68 to $70 million in order to fully fund domestic violence services. And there are no general fund dollars going to domestic violence. So I know I'm assuming that the Oregon Coalition Against Domestic and Sexual Violence will be very concerned about this proposal. I support libraries. I support the Ready to Read program. I just think this is an inappropriate proposal. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Does that mean you're a no?
I'm a no.
Any further discussion on LC 4221? Any objections other than Senator Brown to introducing LC 4221? As the record showed, Senator Brown's objection, and the measure is introduced. LC 4283, relating to LEMLA, Representative Westland. Let me make sure I got the right pony. LC 4283 would allow funds currently in the Law Enforcement Medical Liability Account, LEMLA, to be transferred to the General Fund after June 30, 2001. The LEMLA pays medical care providers for the cost of treating persons who are injured while being apprehended by police. The account is funded through an assessment added to criminal fines. During the 9901 biennium, account revenue is expected to be $1.8 million, and claims and management expenses are estimated to be only $440,000. The fund balance would grow from $1.5 million at the beginning of 9901 biennium to $2.9 million at the end of the biennium. The amount to be transferred from the fund is not specified in the LC, but would be added later to the bill as state budgeting is being finalized. Any discussions regarding LC 4283? Any questions? Any objections to introducing LC 4283? Seeing none, so ordered. Continuing bills for introductions, LC 4302 relating to state appropriations. Oh my goodness, I seem to have two ponies. Well, I'll just read the one. LC 4302 provides a new statutory appropriation limitation. It is also Mike Stinson's get-out-of-town legislation. For many biennia, Mike and the Ways and Means Committees have had to wrestle with the existing statutory language limiting appropriation growth. Differing interpretations of what constituted fund shifts and what constituted general government purposes have made the current statute almost impossible to firmly and definitively interpret and follow. Further, there is a logical inconsistency between prospectively appropriating funds for one biennium based on historical data and personal income. The net result has been a far less than consistent appropriation growth limit. Mike convinced your co-chairs that the existing statute is problematic. I think all of us are aware of the problematic nature of our existing expenditure limitation as well. Your co-chairs feel that a new statute is necessary. The statute should, and here's the important part, folks, eliminate the problems associated with identifying and interpreting fund shifts in the formula, exclude federal funds from the limitation, tie the appropriations of a biennium to personal incomes for that biennium, and four, give objective third-party definitions of general government purposes. LC 4302 accomplishes all four of these objectives. It eliminates the issue of fund shifts because there is no distinction between general, lottery, or other funds. Federal funds are specifically excluded. The personal income estimates prepared by the U.S. Department of Commerce are for the same biennium as the appropriation. It defines governmental purposes as those defined by the Government Accounting Standards Board, an independent standards board that sets reporting standards for all governmental entities that publish audited financial reports in the U.S. Oregon's Comprehensive Annual Financial Report and is prepared for those standards. Just for your information, that is the longest sentence I've ever read. Governmental activities do not include fiduciary activities such as the payment of PERS and unemployment insurance benefits. Here's a key statement. But they do include employers' general fund contributions into PERS for benefit of said employees. Governmental activities do include business and other regulation, public safety, natural resources, human services, and governmental administration agencies. They do not include business activities such as the Veterans Administration and other loan programs, the lottery operations, or higher education's dormitory receipts or bookstore sales. We left the percentage, as you can see, purposely blank for purposes of legislative discussion. Your co-chairs want Mike to enjoy his retirement, knowing that his after-tax PERS benefits will be protected and that future legislative budgeteers, young and old alike, Representative Schrader, will have a meaningful and workable appropriation limitation statute under which to operate. Your co-chairs recommend unanimous approval of LC 4302. Any discussion? Representative Hayden.
Mr. Chairman, this may be the best thing since sliced bread, or it may not. The devil is in details. I have great respect for Mr. Stinson. I also have great respect for former Representative Bill Markham, who went to great lengths to establish state spending limits and state FTE limits, ignored though they may be. Now, the devil being in the details, I'm very disturbed by line 14 with a blank line, Mr. Chairman. I want further time to study this. I want to see a figure in line 14, and I'm going to vote no today until I can set my mind at ease.
Well, by voting yes, Representative Hayden, you get the opportunity to study it.
Yes.
This is just an introduction. It goes back for legislative consideration in the Ways and Means Committee. We are not passing this out.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
You are welcome. Any further discussion? Any objections, and are you still an objection, Representative Hayden? Any other objections? Let the record show Representative Hayden is a no to introducing LC 4302. And seeing no other objections, the measure is introduced. Budget bills reported out of subcommittee. HB 5001, Department of Agriculture, Senator Dukes.
Good morning.
Good morning,
Mr. Chair. House Bill 5001 is the enabling legislation approving fee increases adopted
adopted by the Department of Agriculture since July 1, 1999. According to state law, all state agency fees adopted after July 1st of any odd-numbered year must be ratified by the legislature during the next legislative session in order to remain in effect. The continuance of fees at their present level will allow the continuation of programs such as seed, hay, and straw sampling and inspection, wholesale and retail seed inspection and licensing, sod and grass seed inspection and tagging, shipping point inspection, pesticide product registration, and exotic animal permits. It has been several years since many of these fees have been adjusted. Public hearings were held and input from industry groups was solicited in setting fees at their appropriate levels. After review and approval from the Department of Administrative Services, fees were adjusted during the current biennium by administrative rule. The adjusted fees were included in the development of the governor's recommended budget for 2001-03. The ratification of the adjusted fees is now needed to provide the revenue for continuing these agriculture programs. The Natural Resources Subcommittee recommends ratification of the fees and urges your approval of House Bill 5001 as amended.
Thank you, Senator. Any questions for Senator Dukes regarding 5001? Any discussion? Any objections to moving House Bill 5001 to the House floor, House Bill 5001 as amended to the House floor with a due pass recommendation? Let the record show Representative Schrader is a no. Seeing no other objections, House Bill 5001 or 5001 as amended is moved to the House floor with a due pass recommendation. House Bill 5036, Public Utility Commission, Representative Butler.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. House Bill 5036 is the budget bill for the Public Utility Commission. There's been a few changes in the commission while we've been studying this budget. The commission is responsible for regulating electric and natural gas companies as well as certain telephone and water utilities. The commission also operates a residential service protection fund, which provides telecommunication services for the disabled and low-income individuals. The subcommittee recommended budget is $275,059,809 with 122 positions. Now, the majority of this budget, which is $243.1 million, is non-limited funds for the Oregon Universal Service Fund, which through the commission then distributes the money to Oregon telecommunication providers serving high-cost areas. The commission's operating budget, as approved by the subcommittee, is $32 million, with 99% being supported by other funds and 1% being federal funds. The operating budget is increased by 8.6% over the 1999-01 estimated expenditures. The subcommittee reduced the budget by $182,113 for adjustments in the PERS, Attorney General's Interagency for DAS, Human Resources Division, as well as long-distance telephone rates. Subcommittee also reduced expenditure limitation for out-of-state travel by $30,000 and instructed the agency in a budget note to appear before the emergency board should the agency find a need to exceed the remaining limitation in the budget for this type of travel. Subcommittee removed $25,000 from the budget for anticipated savings as a result of moving the agency's web server to the Department of Administrative Services Information Resource Services Division. Subcommittee approved the following for the agency: seven positions for reclassification with directions to the agency to absorb the associated costs within the existing resources. Number two, limitation of full-time equivalents for the Residential Service Protection Fund programs pending the passage of legislation to extend the programs past the sunset date of December 31, 2001. Number three, limitation of two positions to handle workload related to Senate Bill 749, Oregon's electric industry restructuring bill from the 1999 session, with the request of the Department of Administrative Services to unschedule limitation pending the outcome of the proposed legislation to revise, delay, or even repeal the current law. Next, limitation for new position and contracted services to address workload issues relating to hearings, with instructions that the agency is to absorb a portion of the cost of new position through savings and temporary appointments, and a request to the Department of Administrative Services to unschedule the limitation for the contracted services until the agency demonstrates an actual need for it. And finally, a limitation of the agency's expenses to administer the Oregon Universal Service Fund. Finally, the subcommittee, in seeking more budgetary accountability from the agency, approved amendments to House Bill 5036 that delete the agency's lump sum other funds expenditures limitation and establish line item limitation for each of the seven separate program areas. Mr. Stinson tells me to call this program budgeting. The subcommittee heard that this is likely to mean additional appearances by the agency in front of the emergency board in the interim to adjust the individual limitation established in the bill, but also believe that the increased accountability will be the outcome. And the Transportation Economic Development Subcommittee recommends approval of this bill as it's amended.
Thank you, Representative. Programmatic line item budgeting.
Okay.
Any discussion regarding House Bill 5036? Any questions? Any objections to moving it to the House floor as amended with a due pass recommendation? Seeing none? So ordered. Senate Bill 5507. Representative Butler.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Senate Bill 5507 is the budget for the Department of Consumer and Business Services. The agency has a variety of regulatory programs within, including workers' compensation, Oregon OSHA, insurance and finance, and building codes. The agency is supported by assessments and fees charged for services, including workers' compensation assessments and licenses and inspection fees. Federal funds support occupational safety health programs as well. The subcommittee approved the total budget that is 1.2% below the current service level. The budget is an increase of 8.5% over the 1999-01 estimated expenditures, primarily as a result of the adjustments in anticipated non-limited workers' compensation payments. The operating budget is reduced by $5.8 million below the governor's budget because of reduced assessments and fee revenue. Reductions include $1 million in five FTE reduction programs that provide assistance to injured workers, $2.7 million in 19 FTE in programs that provide occupational safety health consultation and investigation services, and finally, $300,000+ and two FTE and central support services programs. The subcommittee approved a bill to create the appraiser certification and licensure board as a semi-private state agency and eliminated the expenditure limitation and staffing in this budget, which was included within this budget. The subcommittee approved budget packages for the Mortgage Banker Consumer Education Program, support staff in the medical insurance pool for contract management, replacement of 12 limited duration positions with permanent staff for building code services and informational technology staff and equipment. There are several budget notes on information technology activities, pawnbroker regulation, and rural building code fees. The Management Labor Advisory Committee is requested to report on the services provided by the Center for Research on Environmental Toxicology and on funding sources of that program. The subcommittee recommends approval of the budget of $166,581,794, other funds, and $305,738,487 non-limited other funds, 1,110 positions, 1,101.76 full-time equivalencies.
Good read, Representative. Mm-hmm. Any discussion regarding Senate Bill 5507? Senator Dukes.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. I just wanted, as I did in committee, to express my regrets to the loss of some folks in the OROSHA budget. We lost some consultants in here that go out and help work sites and employers stay compliant without the enforcement tool that we've used in the past and had problems with. And we lost a federal program in here, which I still think was a huge mistake. We pay a very small piece for that federal program, and the feds pay most of it, and in losing it, we lose a worksite redesign program, and I hope that all of you have gotten as many letters on that program as I have. Very, very minimal cost to the state, and it's clear that employers value that program. So I think that those two actions were a mistake, and I made those points in committee. Clearly, I was unsuccessful, but I want to make them again here. I think it's a mistake on the part of state government to lose both of those.
I know those are heartfelt comments.
Yeah.
Any further comments? Any further questions? Any objections?
I'll be an objection.
Hold on. We have Senator Brown, Senator Trow. Any other objections to moving Senate Bill 5507, Department of Consumer and Business Services, as amended to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation? Seeing none? So ordered. Senate Bill 5506, no, 5508. Representative Hayden.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is the fee bill for the Department of Consumer and Business Services, and I am the messenger. Senate Bill 5508 increase during the 1991-01 biennium by the Department of Consumer and Business Services. ORS 291.055 requires that the legislature approve new fees or fee increases adopted by agencies during the interim if those fees are to continue into the next biennium. If they are disapproved by the legislature, the fees cease, but there is no rebate of the collected fees. Senate Bill 5508 includes fee increases for collection agency registration, insurance examinations, and for several programs in the Building Codes Division. The subcommittee did not approve fee increases for the pawnbroker regulatory program. The agency was directed to review the pawnbroker program in the interim. An increase for the manufactured home state code development and training and monitoring fee was also disapproved. The budget for the department was approved based on the revenue generated from the increased fees. The General Government Subcommittee, under the chairship of Senator Clarno, recommends approval of Senate Bill 5508 as amended.
Third chairship. Thank you, Representative. I'll teach you to leave committee early. Any discussion? Any objections to moving Senate Bill 5508, the fee bill for Department of Consumer Business Services, as amended to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation? Let the record show Representative Schrader objects. Any other objections? Seeing none, so ordered. Senate Bill 5516, Representative Morgan.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Senate Bill 5516 is the enabling legislation approving fee increases adopted by the Department of Environmental Quality since July 1st of 1999. According to state law, all agency fee increases adopted after July 1st of any odd-numbered year must be authorized by the legislature during the next legislative session in order to remain in effect. The fee increases in Senate Bill 5516 are associated with the Title V program in the Air Quality Division and the On-Site program in the Water Quality Division. The bill includes no new fees or proposed fee increases for the 2001-03 biennium. The fees in Senate Bill 5516 were either previously authorized to be increased as part of the 99-01 legislatively adopted budget or adopted due to statutory requirements to increase certain fees to cover program costs. The subcommittee directed that certain on-site program fees be reduced to levels that had been proposed to the legislature in 1999. During the 1999 session, the legislature approved a program option package that assumed an average fee increase of 35%. On-site fees had not been increased since 1994. During the administrative rulemaking process, the Environmental Quality Commission adopted a fee schedule with certain on-site fees increased by more than had been presented to the legislature during the 99 session. The subcommittee recommends rolling these fees back to the level the department had originally presented to the legislature in the 99 budget proposal. The Natural Resources Subcommittee recommends approval of Senate Bill 16.
Thank you, Representative. Any discussion?
Sure.
Senator Trow.
I'm wondering, I think I've had the concern in previous sessions that somehow or other the fees were not adequate to pay for the kinds of regulations that the law requires, and so I'm wondering if is the department satisfied that the level of fees that you're giving them allows them to do what we've assigned them to do?
The Mr. Co-Chair, in the discussion that we had in the subcommittee on this, the other piece that went along in the 99 session with agreeing to raise the fees was a list of levels of service that needed to be attended to from the point of view of the people that were paying the fees. And the department has been very successful in improving the quality of service to the people that were paying the fees. And they managed to do so without actually filling most of the positions that the fees were supposed to provide money to fill. So we were very satisfied that the commitments both to the federal side of the program and to the users of the program were being met.
In addition to regulating things that users do, there's also the need to regulate and keep things from happening that might be adverse. Do they have the ability to make sure that adverse things don't happen, to enforce their regulations that we provided them?
The discussion in the committee centered on the fact that the program was being administered very successfully.
Okay, and they're satisfied with the level of the fees?
I think that in my experience, I don't know that I've come across an agency that wouldn't be more satisfied if they had higher fees.
Okay, I understand that. And that's easy to say, but this agency has been, I think, woefully underfunded for quite a while, and I think its ability to enforce has been diminished because of a lack of support that we've given them. So that's why I raised the question. And I gather from your answer that they were not satisfied with the level of fees that we have in this bill.
Have I answered the question?
Yes, you have. Thank you.
Any other discussion or questions regarding Senate Bill 5516? Any objections to moving Senate Bill 5516 as amended to the Senate to the Senate floor with the due pass recommendation? Let the record show Senator Crowe and Senator Schrader, Representative Schrader.
Mr. Chair,
I'm seeing no other objections. So ordered.
Explanation. They certainly do need to be funded, and they need a fee increase. So I'll probably support this, but I do think they need the fees to be adequate so that they can do the job that we've asked them to do. And I'm not sure that over the years we've provided them enough money to do that job adequately.
We've got a long agenda, so let's make sure we limit our comments. I understand. I mean, on a lot of our natural resource agencies, we continually battle between fee and general fund. And, we're not going to solve this today and probably even this legislative session. So, Senate Bill 5532, the workhorse of today's committee, Representative Butler.
Really like
Thank you.
This is what happens when you step out of the committee for a few minutes, Mr. Chair. Senate Bill 5532 is the budget bill for the Construction Contractors Board and the Landscaping Contractors Board. The contractors' registration fees support all of these boards, both these boards. The Construction Contractors Board first is a 0.1% below the current service level and reduces a reduction of $1.6 million and one FTE from the governor's budget. The board provides the staff for the Landscape Contractors Board. The budget includes reductions in staff and limitation because the Landscape Contractor Board will become a semi-independent state agency mid-biennium. There are several budget notes on technology improvements, funding for the workstation replacement, deferred spending report, technology plan. Other budget notes direct the review of the classification structure of the information systems unit and a review of the performance measures with the Joint Legislative Audit Committee. The budget deletes funding for the interim construction fraud evaluation unit. The board with the Department of Justice will jointly work together to develop a plan to address incidents of illegal activity in the construction industry. Additional expenditure limitation may then be provided based upon the development of such a joint plan. The recommendation of the subcommittee is $10,544,123. Other funds 66 positions, 63.75 FTE for the Construction Contractors Board. Relative to the Landscape Contractors Board, the subcommittee recommended approval of House Bill 2127, which transfers this board to a semi-independent status mid-biennium. The budget is decreased by 52% to reflect this transfer. The subcommittee recommends a budget of $206,563 other funds for Landscape Contractors Board for the 2002 year. And I think that should say 2001, 2003, but because it changes mid-biennium. Maybe that is 2001, 2002.
Representative Butler, Mr. Chair, that's for the fiscal year.
Okay. With that recommendation, Chair.
Thank you, Representative. Discussion regarding Landscape Contractors Board. Any questions? Any objections to moving 5532 as amended to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation? None? So ordered. Senate Bill 5542, Representative Schrader.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senate Bill 5542 is the budget bill for the Oregon Student Assistance Commission. This commission administers state and privately funded scholarship programs, the Federal Student Loan Guarantee Program, and the Office of Degree Authorization. This budget includes funding for the state's primary student aid program, the Oregon Opportunity Grant. The Opportunity Grant assists lower-income students who attend an Oregon four-year college or a community college. The recommended budget totals $39.1 million for opportunity grants, equal to a 6% increase over the current biennium level. Unfortunately, we could not do a little better in this budget, but there may be opportunities later in the session if we can get the university presidents to turn loose of the $60 million they use for their own personal scholarship programs.
Where does that say that?
This is the same level as the governor's recommended budget, adjusted only for updated forecasts of available federal and lottery funds. The budget allows all education endowment fund earnings for opportunity grants to be used without any offsetting general fund reduction. This allows total award amounts to exceed the current service level by almost $800,000. On the administrative side, the subcommittee approved reductions in funding for PERS, contributions, state government service and attorney general charges, telecommunications, out-of-state travel, and general services and supplies. The budget restores general fund for the Office of Degree Authorization to the level necessary to fully support the office's functions relating to the regulation of diploma mills and the review of new publicly funded post-secondary education programs. Finally, the subcommittee approved a budget note directing the commission to prepare a report on the impact of financial aid on students' decisions to enroll and continue in post-secondary programs. This report to be presented to the emergency board in the interim will help the next legislative assembly determine what levels of financial assistance are needed to affect access to and persistence in secondary, post-secondary education. Both the Oregon University System and the Department of Community Colleges and Workforce Development will help the commission prepare this important report. Your Education Subcommittee recommends approval of Senate Bill 5542 with the -2 amendment, sir.
Thank you for that creative read, Representative Schrader. Any discussion regarding Senate Bill 5542? Senator Hartung.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. This is a very important bill. I mean, we're making good progress with our institutions, private and public, as far as keeping our best students in the state. Enrollment is up everywhere, and this is extremely important, and I urge that we pass it.
Senator Troll.
Yes. I too, urge the passage of this, and I think it's as good a budget as we could give them this time. I think we're all concerned about helping students, especially low-income students, have an opportunity to go on to higher education if they do indeed want to, and it's in their interest to do so. And so I think this budget does that. The budget note, I think, is a good idea to take a good look at what is indeed happening. I hope, though, that we won't lose our commitment to need-based scholarships for these kids, because we've got a lot of kids that really come from families that are not able to help them very much, and they need that help.
Thanks, Senator. Any other comments or questions? Any objections to moving Senate Bill 5542 as amended to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation? Seeing none, in order. Senate Bill 5551, Oregon Historical Society, Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Senate Bill 5551 provides state funds to the Oregon Historical Society. The state has a long history of providing support to the Oregon Historical Society, and this grant continues that tradition. The Society's programs and services benefit a broad constituency throughout the state. Its educational programs include the Society's mobile museum, and school services in the form of traveling artifact kits, museum programs, films, and slideshows. It provides workshops for teachers, supports local historical societies and museums, and publishes the Oregon Historical Quarterly. Annually, an estimated 475,000 students, residents, and visitors benefit directly from the Society's programs and services. State aid now amounts to 12% of the Society's operating budget. The governor's recommended budget had the Society's grant in SB 5502, the DAS budget bill. The co-chairs moved the grant out of that bill into a bill of its own. Your subcommittee reduced the grant by the co-chairs 1%, and your subcommittee recommends approval of SB 5551 as amended. In the interest of full disclosure, Mr. Co-Chair, both my parents have served on the board. My late father is chair.
Thank you, Representative. Any questions regarding Senate Bill 5551?
Mr. Chair, I would just like to say that I'm also a director on the Oregon Historical Society.
Mr. Chair,
Senator Duncan,
I might just comment. I'm very, very supportive of this. I spent 15 years on the board of this group, and frankly, I think it. I think it's a sad commentary in a sense that we do so little as a state in preserving our history, and I wish we were able to do more. I understand where we are, but I just think visionary down the road, we should be thinking about really doing something to support this, because this is a statewide issue. We rely on corporations a lot.
I'd just like to say I'm not a director and I've never been one.
Don't you wonder why now?
Yeah. Senator Trow.
Mr. Chair, maybe we can help you being a director. I have been at one time a director of this organization, and I agree with the comments of Senator Duncan and others about it. It's a very important organization. I think we need to fund it well, and hopefully we can do better in the future.
Representative Hayden.
Mr. Chair, I was on the committee and I made a motion to increase this budget. I too would like to increase it in the future. I'm aware that we have to be careful how many such agencies we can allocate.
Representative Hayden.
Mr. Chair, I'm not a director. I've never been a director, but I'm looking forward to being an artifact.
You're getting close.
Senator Hartog has him beaten so far.
Thank you. Representative Winters.
Mr. Chair, I can't top that. I don't want to be an artifact, and I'm not a director and have never been a director, but I do support this program. We should take a bit more.
I think Hartog, there's fossil, and then there's...
That's Senator Duncan here.
Representative Johnson.
Mr. Co-Chair, I might just add for those members that have not been directors, there may be an opportunity to fulfill that long-awaited wish.
Is there an age requirement?
Seeing no further discussion or questions, are there any objections to moving Senate Bill 5551 as amended to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation? Seeing none, it's ordered. Senate Bill 5552, Oregon Public Broadcasting, Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Senate Bill 5552 provides state funds to Oregon Public Broadcasting, or OPB, as it is commonly referred to. The state has continued to provide support to OPB since it was made an independent, not-for-profit entity, and this grant continues that support. OPB provides both public television and public radio to Oregonians. Most of its television programs are educational in nature, while most of its radio programs are news and informational. State aid now amounts to 10% of OPB's operating budget. Like the Historical Society, the governor's recommended budget had OPB's grant in SB 5502, the Department of Administrative Services budget bill. And like the Historical Society, the co-chairs moved the OPB grant out of that bill into its own bill. Your subcommittee discussed the need for periodic legislative review of OPB's expenditures and provided a budget note requiring OPB to submit its annual financial reports to the appropriate legislative committee through the Legislative Fiscal Office. Your subcommittee also reduced the grant by the co-chair's 1%, and your subcommittee recommends approval of SB 5552 as amended. In the interest of full disclosure, Mr. Chair, I served for nearly 15 years as a director.
Any questions regarding Senate Bill 5552? Any discussion? Representative Hayden.
Mr. Chairman, I had the great privilege and pleasure of being present not only with Representative Johnson today when she presented this bill, but in 1993 when she appeared before the House Rules and Reorganization Committee as a board member and asked with other people that this organization gain its independence. I intend to object and vote no on this budget today because, coming back to my comments on the Oregon Historical Society, how many agencies like this can we support? This is a nonprofit organization not connected with the state. It does good things, as does the United Way, the Sierra Club, the National Democratic Committee, any number of organizations that we might fund with state funds, but we do not. I was on the committee in 1993. It was not my understanding that this would be an ongoing appropriation at that time. The legislature at that time gave OPB $50 million worth of valuable broadcast channels and equipment, approximately $50 million, and $5 million in going-away money until they could become independent. Now, this appropriation, when I came back after a lapse, I found this appropriation going on as though it were a budget. It is not. It is not an entitlement. It is a love gift. It is a freebie. Now, much has been made of a 1993 session law, one cut above administrative rule, saying there would be an ongoing relationship. If you look at the handout of the 1993 proposed legislation from the Legislative Fiscal Office, you will see that ongoing appropriations are unknown. They did not know what the size of the love gift would be, or if there would be one. And I stress again that the session law that much is being made of is not codified, it is not ORS, it is not statute, and it is not constitutional. There may be, I believe that we should seize the opportunity to go to zero-based budgeting for organizations like this. And they can demonstrate from session to session why they need a continuing grant, an appropriation, a gift. Now, in conclusion, I know time is short, so I won't make the 10-minute speech that I will make on the floor of the House if necessary. I reviewed the tape just to see if my memory was correct. On the tape, the chair of the committee said, explain to me Chapter 208, Section 12, lines 24 and 25. And Kim Duncan of OPB, who identified herself as marketing, said, I quote, in the best of all possible worlds, we'll provide you with funding, but obviously not obligatory, end quote. Mr. Chairman, I'm going to vote no because I'm concerned about this $3.5 million, which does not go to other equally worthy organizations like OMSI or Oregon Historical Society, who get far less. I'm also concerned about a companion bill for another $7 million to update the equipment that we gave to them. Mr. Chairman, thank you for your time.
Mr. Chair.
Thank you for your comments, Representative. Senator Troll.
Mr. Chair, I've been around here a long time, Senator Hannon. I'm sure if you were here, we could say the same thing. The state has been involved in public television, public broadcasting for a long time. For a long time, it was part of higher ed's budget. And it was all totally funded, basically, through the budget. And it didn't have this feature of raising its own money, and now 65% of everything that it gets is money that it's raised to finance its operation. So I think that's been pretty wonderful. When we, in 93, I think it was, when we set them sort of off on an independent course, if you look at the bill that's been distributed to you, you look at Section 12, it says the state recognizes a continuing obligation to contribute to the support of the nonprofit organization known as the Oregon Public Broadcasting System. So it has had a long tradition of being a state program. We gave it some freedom, as we did the Health Sciences University, to go out and operate as a semi-public kind of nonprofit corporation and finance itself, and it's done a good job of doing that. It's very popular. Programs are widely listened to. And we're continuing what we started in 93 with this appropriation. I don't see it as a sharp departure at all, and I think it shows a commitment to this.
Thank you, Senator. Any other comments?
Senator Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just one brief observation. At the creation of this particular corporation, there were not 200-plus channels on the satellite for a huge array of opportunities for viewing on cable networks. This was at a time when perhaps it filled the need for programming that was not otherwise presented. That need no longer exists. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any other comments or questions regarding Senate Bill 5552? Richard Schrader.
I'm a big supporter of Oregon Public Broadcasting System, but in deference to our my colleague in the House, I'm interested in at least exploring that information and hope we can get to the bottom of that, but probably vote yes on the floor of the House.
Implying you're going to vote no here.
That is correct, sir.
I pick up these subtle inferences.
You're very perceptive.
Any other questions? Senator Hartung.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm very supportive of this, and even though we have a lot of other channels to view these days, OPB truly fills a special void, and I need to declare a potential conflict of interest because I listened to the first broadcast when they came on here, and I have listened to it virtually every day since.
Radio started.
Yes.
Mr. Chair, I don't know who's responsible for the seating arrangement, but I do want to thank him. I do have a lot of fun down here.
Any serious comments or questions regarding this serious budget? Any objections? Let me see the objections to moving Senate Bill 5552 as amended to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation.
Any objections?
I see Senator Miller, Representative Schrader, Representative Hayden. I see no other objections. Senate Bill 5552 as amended is moved to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation. So ordered. Other bills reported out of subcommittee. Senate Bill 304A. Representative Butler.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Senate Bill 304 is engrossed, converts the Appraiser Certification Licensure Board to semi-independent status as a separate agency. The Appraiser Certification Licensure Board licenses and regulates real estate appraisers and appraisal assistants in Oregon. The board is currently part of the DCBS. The conversion is effective 60 days after passage of this bill. The budget bill for the DCBS assumes this transition to a semi-independent status for this board. The department's budget includes a reduction of $895,397 other funds and 5 full-time equivalencies, which corresponds to the budget. Subcommittee of the General Government recommends approval of this bill.
Any comments or questions? Any objections? All righty. Then we'll pass out Senate Bill 3004-A for the due pass recommendation. Senate Bill 327, Senator Crow.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Substitute. doing a good job. This is the student building fee from higher education. It increases the maximum limit of that fee. The fee is charged to all Oregon University System students and is currently assessed at $75 per year for full-time students. The fee is prorated for part-time students. Senate Bill 327 increases the allowable fee to $105 per year during the 2001-03 biennium and to $135 per year starting in 2003-05. The revenue from student building, this fee is used for the construction and renovation of student facilities, including student unions, recreation centers, and child care centers on the Oregon University System campuses. The construction and renovation projects are financed with Article 11F1 bonds. The student building fee provides the revenues that pays the debt service on these bonds. Although the revenue generated at the existing fee level is sufficient to repay bonds issued for the previously approved student facility projects, it's not sufficient to allow proposed new projects to be undertaken. The fee increase would allow 13 student facility projects proposed in the governor's recommended budget, totaling $53.4 million to be built. The Education Subcommittee approved the increase and added a requirement that the Oregon University System present a report to the legislature next session on building fee revenues and the projects begun or contemplated based upon those revenues. This report will be prepared with input from student governments. The subcommittee received testimony in support of the fee increase from representatives of the Oregon Student Association. The Education Subcommittee recommends approval of Senate Bill 327 with the dash one amendments.
Any comments or questions? Senator Dukes.
Well, Mr. Chair, at some point I'm going to start objecting to these bills. We passed one on the Senate floor the other day that's going to cost me money just because I'm single. And now we've got one that's going to cost me money because I've got two kids in college. And at some point these things add up.
Any other comments? Senator Hartung.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. As you know, we spent a lot of time on this and the sub on education revolving around, you know, increasing fees, student fees, and, you know, how we've struggled to keep the tuition fees, we being the legislature, down and frozen for a period of time and now have raised them. And so we have it on the record very clearly that the students, you know, can and do increase their fees. So we, the legislature, are not alone in creating obstacles, as they say, for all of our students going to one of our universities. This is very important as our enrollments are growing, and we need to have, you know, decent facilities related to education, even though, you know, K through 12 and all the rest of the education is struggling. But I think this is a very appropriate increase in the fees, and the students themselves voted it on themselves, and I recognize it.
Thank you. Senator Miller.
Just share with the committee that some of the testimony that we received in that committee on this subject was that the students that was represented supported these fee increases because they could see the benefits, whereas I guess with tuition increases they can't.
Interesting recollection. Other comments? Senator Trow?
Mr. Chair, just sort of to add on to that comment, the students have indicated support for a tuition fee increase. They do see the benefits of it. They just don't want it as large as tuition and fee increases we may have to provide. But they did indicate support for a 2%, 2.5%, I think it was, fee increase each semester. So it's not as though that they aren't willing to pay some fee increase, tuition fee increase, and they see the value of it. It's the size of it that they were objecting to.
On that one?
Yeah.
Thank you, Senator. Any other questions? Any other discussions? Any objections to moving Senate Bill 954 to Senate floor as amended with a due pass recommendation? Let the record show Senator Yee is no. Seeing no other objections? Order. Excuse me. That was Senate Bill 327. Thanks for pointing the wrong number.
Point the right number.
You've got a check off right here.
You took the wrong medication, obviously.
Give him another burial.
Maybe I am taking a little medication, but, you know. Okay, let's do that again. Any objections to moving Senate Bill 327 to the Senate floor with a pass recommendation? Let the record show Senator Yee is a no. So ordered. Senate Bill 954, related to funds, Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. This bill allows the State Treasurer and the Department of Administrative Services to take advantage of changing market conditions to achieve savings in bond service payments without delay. This bill further requires the Department of Administrative Services to report expenses and savings resulting from the retirement or refunding of debt within 90 days of the action to the Emergency Board or the Joint Committee on Ways and Means. Your subcommittee amended the bill to provide authority to the Department of Administrative Services to pay and record the debt issuance and refunding costs. This bill should look familiar. It was LC 4133, which previously was approved by Ways and Means for introduction, and your subcommittee now recommends approval of the bill as amended.
Thank you, Representative. Any questions regarding Senate Bill 954? Any discussion? Any objections to moving Senate Bill 954 as amended to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation? Seeing none, so ordered. House Bill 2121A, Representative Butler.
Thank you, Representative Chairbridge.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
We look better.
Yeah.
After showed up?
Hey.
House Bill 2121 is a housekeeping measure requested by the State Treasurer. It establishes a consistent standard for the appointment of bond counsels by various state bond programs with the approval of the State Treasurer and the Attorney General. It affects bonds issued by the Economic and Community Development Department and the Oregon Department of Transportation. Further, with approval by the State Treasurer, the period over which interest may be capitalized on bonds issued by state agencies may be spread over a period not longer than the estimated period of construction. Your subcommittee, working with the State Treasurer, provided clarifying language that the Economic and Community Development Department obtain the approval of the State Treasurer before appointing bond counsel. Amendment does not change the current practice or increase workload. The Educational Endowment Fund receives 15% of lottery revenues every 2 years. The Department of Administrative Services administers the Oregon Education Fund to pay for public education and education lottery bond debt. Language providing for the funds to be continuously appropriated is also included in the bill as a housekeeping measure. Your subcommittee recommends the approval of House Bill 2121, engrossed as amended.
Thank you, Representative. Any questions?
Mr. Chair.
Senator Deuce.
Fortunately for the rest of you, I'm now awake. I have an engrossed bill, and I have a measure that says be engrossed. I was just kind of curious as to which one it was.
It is the A engrossed version.
A engrossed version.
Okay, so the measure summary is incorrect.
Well, it's being amended, so it's going to be the B engrossed? Did it come from a different committee?
Correct. It's not going to, when it's enrolled, it will be the B engrossed.
It will, okay, so we're voting on
it. It's the A engrossed version as amended. So it will be the B engrossed version when it's enrolled.
Thank you.
All right.
Engrossed.
It's doubly engrossed.
It's doubly gross.
A question, Mr. Co-Chair. Does it allow the appointment of bond counsel in consultation with the treasurer so that there's treasurer approval of the bond counsel?
That's my assumption. Let's have staff confirm that. I've seen Dallas give an affirmative nod.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mr. Chair. Johnson, members of the committee.
He took the wrong medicine.
That is correct. Treasury must approve the appointment of bond counsel.
Thank you.
Senator Miller.
Is this at all related to the Patridge original plan touting Oregon projects that I read about yesterday, the Top program?
We're waiting to amend Senator Nelson's bill when it arrives.
That'll be the C engrossed.
That would be the flip-flop.
Yeah, tip-top.
It will be the CD gross version.
That's an
Seeing no other questions or Discussion regarding House Bill 2121A. Are there any objections to moving House Bill 2121A to the House floor as amended with a due pass recommendation? Seeing none, so ordered. House Bill 2127B, Landscape Contractors Board, Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. House Bill 2127 converts the Landscape Contractors Board to a semi-independent state agency effective July 1, 2002. The budget bill for the Landscape Contractors Board assumes this transition and includes $206,563 other funds limitation for operating costs for the 2001-02 fiscal year. The Landscape Contractors Board has no positions. The Construction Contractors Board provides staff support. Since the conversion will be phased in beginning in the last quarter of the 2001-02 fiscal year, the Landscape Contractors Board will need to hire 0.38 FTE staff to begin the transition. Transition costs, including staff, are $53,881. The Subcommittee on General Government recommends approval of this bill.
Thank you, Representative. Any questions regarding House Bill 2127? Any discussion? Representative Hayden.
Mr. Chairman, I voted in committee to make this agency a semi-independent agency on the open assumption they will not be back in the future seeking funds from us.
I believe it's another funded agency, Representative. Any other discussion? Any objections to moving House Bill 2127 to the House floor recommendation? Seeing none, so ordered. House Bill 2139 relating to fees for the Transportation Department. Representative Patrick.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. House Bill 2139A changes the existing fees for replacement licenses, permit and identification cards, hardship and probationary driver permits, reinstatement of driving privileges, and fees for business regulation of vehicle business services provided by the Driver and Motor Vehicles Division of the Oregon Department of Transportation. The bill was previously worked in the House Transportation Committee and was forwarded to Ways and Means with a due pass recommendation. Currently, the fees imposed by the DMV do not cover the actual cost to provide the service, resulting in excess revenues generated by the vehicle registration fee, offsetting the cost for those services. In addition, the Attorney General's recent analysis of highway funds found two programs that are ineligible for funding with highway trust funds, the identification cards and regulation of vehicle businesses. The bill aligns fees with the cost to provide these services, thereby allowing the net revenue generated by the vehicle registration fees to flow to the highway trust fund. House Bill 2139A also eliminates the transfer of revenues from the existing motor vehicle accident fee and the safety education fee, requiring that revenue be retained in the highway trust fund. The proposed fee adjustments are estimated to generate an additional $34.8 million in the current biennium and $36 million in the 2003 and 05 biennium. An amendment to House Bill 2139A, supported by the Vehicle Dealers Association, was presented to the Transportation Economic Development Subcommittee to adjust the dealers' certificate graduated fee structure with a single fee of $958. The impact of the Dash 9 amendments is revenue neutral and is the fee as originally proposed by the Oregon Department of Transportation. The Transportation and Economic Development Subcommittee recommends your approval of House Bill 2139A with the Dash 9 amendments. Consequently, it will be a fee engrossed version.
Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Any discussion regarding House Bill 2139? Any questions?
Question.
Representative Schrader.
I should remember I worked on this budget last session, but is there any general fund in the Department of Transportation's budget at all?
Little tiny amount.
Real little tiny. A little tiny.
Mr. Chair, Representative Schrader, there's general fund for transit and rail, and then there's a small amount, about $250,000 for matching other federal grants.
Follow-up, sir. Just since the Attorney General's great opinion has come down, I was wondering if there's any opportunity to recoup some of the general fund out of other sources within that department and offset the loss that we've got here. But if this is dedicated the way you've described it, probably not then.
Mr. Chair, Representative Schrader, I don't know of any way to recoup. I'm not sure I understand your question.
Well, I just was wondering, because we can't use the highway dollars, if you will, to fund these programs, I was wondering if there's an opportunity to use general fund in a different way, use the general fund that's in that in those budgets to fund, you know, these programs that we're now looking for other general fund revenue to support.
Mr. Kocher, I think that would take additional fee increases beyond what these would be, and these are fairly substantial fee increases to cover those costs. So this is the fee bill that would raise money. Certainly, as this committee is aware, we could continue to raise fees to offset general funds in many agencies, in this agency, unlike many others. But these are fairly substantial fee increases across the board. We have been subsidizing those, and we're already getting a lot of heat in the substantial increases, 100 and 200% increase.
I would think also that if you, as a policy decision, wanted to defund the limited amount of general fund that was in those other portions of the budget, you would then be looking at either fee increases in those areas. I don't know the level of discussion on Senator or Representative Starr's committee or Representative Butler's committee regarding the transfer of general fund to some of these areas. I don't know, Susie, if that amount of general fund, you know, equates to the dollar value represented in this fee increase. It's my impression it does not. If that's what you're driving
at. Yes, that's what I was
driving. Could you repeat the question?
What Representative Schrader is suggesting is, okay, there is X amount of general fund in ODOT's budget. Why couldn't we just transfer that general fund to these areas to subsidize, you know, to make up the difference?
Mr. Chair, Representative Schrader, the amount of the matching funds are for programs that aren't eligible for use of highway funds. The fee increases that we that you are adopting here are to cover the costs of services that are being provided through DMV.
Okay.
If highway funds were able to be used for matching those funds, then they would be used in those cases now. So it's not possible.
And we wouldn't be in the situation we're in. So.
Okay, thanks. That helps.
Catch 22 in a,
right.
In a circle. Senator Dukes.
Yeah, Mr. Co-Chair, several years ago, the federal government made a good chunk of their federal transportation money flexible, usable for a number of things that our road fund money is not usable for. So if we want to match any of that money, we can't use our federal road fund money, our state road fund money, in order to be able to match it. We have to dig into general fund, and clearly you can see we do very little. We do give some money to some other state agencies, and they get general fund money to match it. But, and there's nothing you can do about transit and rail. They're not in the Constitution.
Any other questions or discussions regarding House Bill 2139? Any objections? Is that a question?
No, I just would like to declare a potential conflict of interest, even though I'm going to vote for it.
State your conflict.
Well, I have a relative who would be adversely affected by this increase.
Representative Winter, not getting Christmas present.
I'm not getting Christmas present.
Okay. House Bill 2139. Any objections to as amended? Any objections to moving it to the House floor with a due pass recommendation? Let the record show Representative Schrader is no. Any other objections? See none. So ordered. House Bill 2239, Representative Schrader.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. House Bill 2239 requires operators of water systems serving groundwater fewer than 150 service connections to be certified. In 1996, the Federal Safe Drinking Water Act required states to develop operator certification programs to meet the Environmental Protection Agency's guidelines or lose 20% of their annual Safe Drinking Water Revolving Fund grant. In Oregon, this would be a loss of over $2 million a year in federal funds for loans to communities for safe drinking water projects. Current statute requires the Health Division to classify, certify, and establish fees for drinking water system operators, but small water systems serving fewer than 150 service connections are exempt from this certification. House Bill 2239 brings Oregon into full compliance with federal law by requiring all water system operators to be certified. Certification will be done at no charge to operators of small water systems under this bill. The funding will come from federal funds allocated under the Safe Drinking Water Act. Human Services Subcommittee recommends approval of House Bill 2239.
Thank you for not taking any literary license with that phony representative. Any questions of House Bill 2239? Senator Dukes.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Right now, anybody serving five people or more is considered a water system. Does this get down to the five people level?
I defer to LFO on that, but yeah, it gets down to everybody, my understanding.
Mr. Co-Chair, Senator Duke, yes, it gets down to all water system operators.
Exactly when will this take effect? I'd like to be out of town when it's
happens. Yeah. While LFO is looking at that, I had a lot of, my initial reaction was much like Senator Duke's. But my concerns were allayed by several considerations. One is we're required to do it, or lose funding. Two is that the feds are paying for this, so it does not cost the local governments anything. What they're doing really is just paying to train the local people that are already in place to do the certification, so the local governments don't have to pony up their own money or find a way to raise revenue to train their people to comply with the Federal Safe
My concern is just, I have some little bitty ones, 5, 6, 7 homes on these things, and they're quite happy with what's going on. They don't have a water system as such. They just technically meet the requirement.
Tell them to get some free training.
This gets implemented when?
Mr. Co-Chair, Senator Dukes, it does have an emergency clause and it's effective upon passage, so as soon as they have rules in place.
Good, I'll still be here.
Yeah, just for the record, this is a federal mandate.
Thank you.
Nothing the state is doing is causing, you know, this to occur. All we're doing here is allowing federal funds to flow, you know, to pay for the training mandated by the federal government. So don't write us, write your federal congressman. Senator Yee.
Mr. Chair, I voted no in the committee because I feel that one FTE should be a limited duration. The training is going to be contracted out, and one person is to develop rules. And once rules are developed, he shouldn't be needed anymore. So I believe that it should be a limited duration. And that's why I don't know.
Good comment, Senator. Representative Hayden.
Well, just a procedural question again to follow up on what Representative Dukes did. What is an operator? Clearly, they are not registered professional engineers in every case. My question is, here's for a couple of farms on a spring. Maybe they're related, maybe they're not related. They serve 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 houses, maybe. Is that a water district? Is that what we're talking about here?
I believe the statute is 5 or more, but I'll defer to staff on that.
Mr. Co-Chair and Representative Hayden, I'm not absolutely clear on what the statute says as far as what constitutes a water system, but we can certainly look into that. I believe, my understanding is that if it is five or more, that does constitute a water system, and these folks are required under this federal guideline to be trained under this program.
I know, Representative, that when I, in my own specific circumstance, when I had a domestic well, and I was using it myself, I had no requirements under the state or feds to have that water tested. When I allowed my neighbor to tap into it, there were no specific requirements. As we went down the rim where I was living, once we got to the fifth one, we fell, into the morass, if you will, of government regulation.
What if those had all been your in-laws, your family?
It doesn't matter.
I think if it goes to separate platted tax parcels. If you had five people living in one house, no. If you had five separate people living inside five separate homes on five separate tax lots, yes. If you had 10 people living on one tax lot and one well, no. Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. I think that there's federal money available through the Oregon Economic Development Department as well as some state money, but I think there's a disconnect between that agency and some of the system operators. Recently, I tried to amend a bill including not-for-profit water providers and into OEDD's grant program, and they fought the amendment promising to help the Napa Water District. Within 48 hours, they told them no grant and no loan. So we're helping private gated communities with their water systems through Oregon Economic and Community Development, but I can't get help for a private not-for-profit. So I think that there's an opportunity to look at how OEDD administers some of these water grants. Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair.
Mr. Chair, before we vote, I wonder if it's away from the House side, but bring Senator Hartog back to this side. He's gotten lost over there, I think.
Any other questions? I believe Senator Hartung knows his way around this building.
That was a compliment.
Representative Hayden.
Well, just one, and it may be sort of a simplistic question, Mr. Chairman, but except for the fact that it's a federal mandate, what's the reason for the bill? Is there any clear and present danger? Has anyone been harmed? Why are we doing this?
Because we'll lose $2 million.
Well, who will get the $2 million?
We get the $2 million for training.
That's right.
Yeah, we get the $2 million for training of the personnel necessary to administer these, quote, water districts.
We don't know if there's a problem.
That's correct. We don't.
Who gives it to the Fed?
Any other discussions regarding 2239?
Mr. Chair.
Senator Dukes.
I kind of almost hate to ask this. So if we don't do this, we don't get the money, but they leave the little guys alone?
No.
We don't get the money and they don't leave the little guys.
That's right.
Yeah. Correct.
We get the money and they still knock on the little guy's door.
Okay. Mr. Chair, it would mean that we're out of compliance with the federal Safe Drinking Water Act. And so there could be some penalties following that. We lose the $2 million plus.
Any other questions regarding 2239? Any discussion? Any objections to moving House Bill 2239? As amended to the House floor with a due pass recommendation. Let the record show Representative Hayden is an objection. Seeing no other objections, so ordered. House Bill 2251, Representative Winters.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. House Bill 2251 increases the daily compensation for members of the Oregon State Board of Nursing from $30 to $150. The Board of Nursing and LFO estimate the cost of this increase to be about $58,000. The Board's budget bill, Senate Bill 5535, included necessary other funds expenditure limitations to accommodate the Board members' compensation increase. However, the Ways and Means Committee requested the Department of Administrative Services to unschedule the funds pending passage of this bill. The Board of Nursing reports that in the last two biennia, recruitment of board members has become more difficult. The compensation increase allowed in this bill may help mitigate this trend. The board twice published information about House Bill 2251 in its newsletter that is mailed to 35,000 nurses in Oregon. It has received no opposition to the proposed increase. Your Human Services Subcommittee recommends approval.
Thank you, Representative. Any questions regarding House Bill 2251? Representative Johnson.
Thank you. Mr. Co-Chair, I'm well aware of the fact that there are a lot of boards and commissions in the state of Oregon that ask Oregonians to volunteer selflessly of their time and talent. I know that those boards also are required to travel great distances. Has there been a comprehensive review of the remuneration for these citizen volunteers across all of our boards and commissions, or is this a one-time fix simply for the nurses?
To our knowledge, there has not been a comprehensive study. We've discussed this at length when this request was brought to us, and see the need for a study of all the boards and commissions, that we do look at this, not just for the nursing, but for other boards. The issue of for the nursing, the one of trying to get individuals to serve on the board, I'm sure it's not unique to them. I'm sure that we have, when we ask volunteers to serve, that it is costly for some of them. The nursing have also another problem, is that they have a shortage. So, you know, it's compounding with the money out of your pocket plus the issue of shortage. And so we did discuss it, and I do believe that there should be an interim study on this issue.
Mr. Co-Chair, follow-up. As sympathetic as I am to the nurses, I'm going to be compelled to vote against this until we take a look at all the other boards and commissions. I just don't find any equity in helping one board and not understanding the context against which we're not helping others.
Representative Hayden.
Well, I share the same concern on that score, and also it appears to me that in going beyond paying expenses for transportation and motels and meals, this is a request to pay salaries. These are limited duration state employees. We're going to pay salaries. We should be paying benefits too. And if we're going to pay them a salary, we should pay salaries to everybody that serves on a commission. As a matter of fact, we should pay $150 a day to legislators because they labor diligently also. So I'm concerned about, and I have seen, Mr. Chairman, I have seen requests for per diem compensation in excess of that. So this isn't the upper limit, but there are also a number of commissions who get per diem much less than this. And we do need equity, and we do have to decide, are we going to pay expenses, or are we going to pay wages?
Representative Patridge.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I agree with Representative Hayden and Representative Johnson up to a point. We did have a lot of lengthy discussion about this issue. This is money that is coming out of nurses' pockets who are paying in. These are other funds. It was a request by the Nurses Association, many other people who are nurses and pay these fees because they feel like they want qualified people to serve on this board, and these people need to be compensated as a result, because they're giving up their hours and other things. You know, I feel like it's unfortunate that that employers who employ these nurses are not paying these nurses' salaries when they serve on these boards and when they're away. I think that they gain benefit as well. So I think something comprehensive needs to be done. I think we need to look at reimbursement rates across the board for all boards and commissions, but I don't think we should penalize the nurses in this particular case, because they've agreed to come forward and compensate their people out of their fees. That's the only reason I'm voting for this. If this was a general fund, if this was coming out of state general funds, I would be a no vote. But because the nurses have come forward and they've shown initiative on this particular issue, I don't think they should be penalized. So that's why I'm voting aye.
Any other comments, questions? Yeah, I think those are good comments, Representative Patridge. And you know, if we look at this in the context, that good legislation is a process, it's not an event, and perhaps view the nurses' board and the actions we take, hopefully take here today and across the floors, as pulling that one stick out of the log cam that allows fair and just treatment for some of these board members that, as Representative Johnson says, so do diligently give of their time and efforts. I think this is a step in the right direction to push a magic button and create equity instantly statewide for all vested and interested parties, I think is a noble goal, but not one that occurs with any degree of regularity in a legislative process. So I would see this as a step forward. I applaud the nurses for coming forward with the actions, and I think this is an excellent bill. Any other questions or objections? Any other questions or discussions? Any objections to moving House Bill 2251 to the House floor with a due pass recommendation? Let the record show Representative Johnson and Representative Hayden, Senator Yee, Senator Miller, and we better do a roll call just to be safe.
Representative Schrader?
No.
Patridge?
Aye.
Winters?
Aye.
Hill?
Aye.
Hansen?
Aye.
Morgan?
Aye.
Hayden?
No.
Johnson?
No.
Co-Chair Wesland?
Aye.
Senator Yee?
No.
Senator Trow?
Aye.
Senator Duke?
Aye.
Senator Miller?
No.
Senator Farriola?
Aye.
Senator Duncan?
Aye.
Senator Flarno?
Aye.
Senator Brown?
Aye.
Five noes.
Thank you. House Bill 2251, having received the constitutional majority, is moved to the House floor with a due pass recommendation. So ordered. Other business to come before the committee. Timely grant application. This is from Dr. Bates. I want you to know his humor is lost. Representative Patridge.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. The Human Services Subcommittee recommends that the Joint Committee on Ways and Means approve the submission of a Federal Department of Housing and Urban Development grant application, which is an amount of $1.37 million over 3 years, to devise a long-term comprehensive strategy for meeting housing and related support service needs for persons with HIV and AIDS and their families. The Federal Housing Opportunity for Person with AIDS, the program is designed to provide states with the resources and incentives to devise long-term comprehensive strategies for meeting the housing and related support services needs of persons with HIV and AIDS and their families. This grant would provide funding for a 3-year period that would create a continuum of housing opportunities for people with HIV and AIDS and their families in counties outside of the Portland metropolitan area. Persons living with HIV and AIDS in the Portland area have access to its HOPWA fund since 1995. The grant amount is $1.37 million over a 3-year period. Of these funds, $300,000 per year will be used for direct rental assistance to approximately 80 clients per year. The agency learned of this grant opportunity in February 2001, and the application's deadline is June 13, 2001. No state matching funds are required, and your Human Services Subcommittee recommends the approval of the request.
Any questions regarding the grant application? Any discussion? Any objections to approving the grant application? Seeing none, so ordered. Another grant application, Economic and Community Development Department, Senator Yee.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. The Transportation and Economic Development Committee recommends that the Joint Committee on Ways and Means approve the submission of a $250,000 National Fire Plan grant from the U.S. Department of Agriculture Forest Service. The federal government has a 10-year plan to reduce fire hazards on public and private land. The Economic and Community Development Department is requesting permission to apply for a grant for the community assistance component of this grant. The grant has a 20% match requirement, which can be met with in-kind contributions. if the grant is approved, the department will return for federal funds expenditure limitation. The subcommittee recommends approval of this grant application.
Thank you, Senator. Any questions regarding the grant application? Representative Schrader.
It's indicated that it could be met with in-kind match. Is there any indication with the Forest Service that they would do in-kind versus state general fund?
Yes, the Economic Development Department will provide in-kind contribution.
That would not be general fund?
That would not be general fund.
Thank you.
Senator Dukes.
Mr. Co-Chair, I just want to know that if they get this grant, they'll be coordinating with the Department of Forestry?
Yes. Mr. Co-Chair, this is part of the grant application, and Economic Development Department would do the small wood promotion part using small dimension wood.
But they
in coordination with Forestry Department.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. That's what I needed to hear.
Any other questions regarding the Economic and Community Development Grant application? Any discussion? Any objections to accepting the grant application request, approving the grant application request? Seeing none, so ordered. Any other business to come before the committee? Representative Hill?
Just advancing the government committee members promptly go over to hearing room 170. We have a couple bills we need to work on.
Any other announcements? I am promptly going to go to a room, but it is not going to be... Thanks for helping me get through this. We are adjourned. Happy weekend.
We asked to say...
Oh, okay.
I apologize.
Why is it non-development?
Yeah. I
just didn't want to see them branching out into another area without the committee.
They can lose a bond.
If found, please return to the list. Oh, now I'm in trouble.
Let me talk to him.
He wants this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What? Yeah.